Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Michael Reyna, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer of the Farm Credit Administration. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us on our conversation is another PwC partner, Deborah Kammer. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Paul.
Michael, let's start out by finding more about the Farm Credit Administration. Could you describe its mission and activities for our listeners?
The Farm Credit Administration is an independent executive branch agency that's responsible for ensuring a dependable source of credit for agricultural and rural America. And by that, what I mean is we are an agency that's responsible for overseeing the safety and soundness of the farm credit system, a nationwide network of cooperative lending institutions that was created by Congress upwards of 80 years ago. It's the nation's oldest government-sponsored enterprise. And that is our mission, and that is what we do.
So in many ways, you regulate the banks that lend to the rural part of our country. Is that the correct way to think about it?
It is. It's a very narrow segment of lending institutions. They don't take deposits like a traditional bank might, but they do lend money, and they are owned and operated by the customers. It's much like a credit union in format, but they are cooperatives in nature, and so they are organized as cooperatives. They function as cooperatives. They pay patronage, and they are single purpose in the sense that they are lending to agriculture and related types of activities.
Is there a special reason why this type of lending institution grew up around agriculture?
In fact, there is. In the turn of the century, around 1911 or so, farmers were having a very, very difficult time getting loans for mortgages, long-term loans. Banks at the time were financing mortgages for a term of about 5 years, and that just wasn't working for farmers. And Congress responded, actually the president at the time, Woodrow Wilson, responded by creating the system through executive order. It was later in 1933 when Congress embodied it in statute in the system that we know today. But it was really to address a shortage of credit in rural areas, and in particular to the agricultural sector.
How many people work at the FCA, and what type of skills do they have?
Well, FCA is in terms of government agencies, is a relatively small agency. We have upwards of 300 employees, about half of which are located in McLean, Virginia. And we've got field offices in Sacramento, Denver, Dallas, Bloomington, and actually have a co-located field office here in McLean as well. There's about 160 or 70 of our employees are here in McLean. And the obviously the support, that's our headquarters, so we've got most of our support activities there, like our administrative shop, our information technology unit. We also have a team of attorneys that help advise the board on policy matters in the development of regulations as well. We've got our chief examiner and his staff located there, and they coordinate all of the examinations throughout the country from that office. And we really have got in the field mostly financial examiners. Our offices range from, in the field, range from 25 to 30 employees, and they are on the road, much like you would find a financial examiner from the OCC or the OTS or National Credit Union Administration, actually out looking at the financial transactions of the institutions.
Michael, we know you were appointed to the board in 1998. Could you tell us who else is on the board with you?
Sure. I'm joined on the board currently by board member Ann Jorgensen, who comes to us from Iowa. Our board structure is a three-member board, and we currently have one vacancy, and we're hopeful that that vacancy will be filled in the next several months. The boards, as you and your listeners know, function best with a diversity of experiences and backgrounds. And so we've got a good set now, and we're hopefully going to add to that here soon.
Now, your title is CEO and Chairman of the Board. How do you divide the responsibilities amongst the members and yourself?
We've got a very active board. My colleague Ann Jorgensen has been brings to the board an experience in agriculture and cooperatives, and so she has helped us on a wide variety of projects that we've undertaken. She's also traveled internationally and brings that focus to the board as well. We live in a global environment, and it is, while the system does not lend globally, it does help finance exports. And so she has helped us in that area. She's also helped us in the e-commerce area as well. That's an interest of hers. So it really depends on the board member's interest as to what they get involved in, and she's been active and involved. With regard to my role as chairman, I set the policy agenda in terms of, or the agenda for our policy meetings, our board meetings, on a monthly basis. And that really goes hand in hand with the CEO responsibilities, because I have to make sure that the items are being teed up on a timely basis, that they're well thought out, and are ready for deliberation by the board.
Let's spend some time on your career. Could you tell us about the things you did before you got here?
Well, I was born and raised in Texas, and grew up and there, and went to the University of Texas in the LBJ School of Public Affairs. It was a graduate degree. I immediately left Texas because it was in the early 80s and was a downturn in the economy and not many jobs. I, like a lot of folks starting their career, I had a wife and a child at the time, and I needed a job. So I took the advice of Go West, young man, and I went directly out to California and had an opportunity to work with the California legislature at that time in a variety of different positions, whether it was with the budget committees or had an opportunity to work with the Elections and Reapportionment Constitutional Amendments Committee, and a wide variety of subject areas, including housing and local government finance. That was what I did during the day. I will tell you that I wanted to get involved locally, and I had an opportunity through my local activities to be appointed to a couple of different local commissions. And so after hours, unpaid, volunteer basis, I served on a very interesting and challenging commission that was created. It was a joint commission by the city and county of Sacramento, and it was created to address a fiscal crisis that was being faced at that time throughout California. Local government finances were tight, and services were being cut. And one of the options was, why don't we merge the city and county of Sacramento? And so for 2.5 years on Thursday nights, I got to sit in and take public testimony from folks as we tried to redesign the structure of city and county government. We did that, took it to the voters. It failed, the wisdom of the voters at the time. Fortunately, the economy turned around, but also served on the Planning Commission in Sacramento, again, Thursday nights there. And we're able to see really government at its best, I think, when it was wrestling with issues that people care deeply about, which is, you know, where is that fence going to go, and what is my community going to look like, and what do you mean you're going to build a 26-story building in my backyard? And so that was a lot of fun, and that led me to take another step and actually help form a nonprofit corporation in the community that I lived in. Now, it was racked with a lot of economic and social problems, and it really grated on me, and I wanted to make a difference. And so I banded together with some of my neighbors, and we formed this group, and it actually isn't still in existence today. And so that really, the volunteer time at the local local community level, working at the state level, actually running for city council in Sacramento and losing, but making a good run of it, thrust me into a position where I was tapped by the Clinton administration in early 93 to head up the Farmers Home Administration in California, and help lead the effort to, at the time, USDA was being reinvented, and agencies were being pulled apart and then reassembled, put back together. And I was the last director of Farmers Home Administration because it was then split programmatically into USDA Rural Development, which is what I led for the next several years, and the Farm Service Agency took over the farm lending aspects of what Farmers Home used to do. So I worked at the federal level in the field, and now find myself here in Washington after being asked by the administration to consider this position, joined the board here as a regulator. One of the things I did actually when I was with the legislature in California was advise them on financial regulation. So I had that as part of my background, though I serve mostly as a policy advisor and a lender in California. So it all comes together. It is not linear at all. And so I bring a diverse set of experiences to my current position.
Great, and it's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Michael Reyna of the Farm Credit Administration. When we come back, we'll ask him how they use technology to benefit their customers and employees. This is the Business of Government Hour.